Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1. Look into the Word of God. If you don't have a Bible, you can look up on the screen. It'll be there. Joshua chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1. Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would help us this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom, the health, Lord, the privilege that you've given us to be in your house. We thank you for the good singing. We've already enjoyed the fellowship that we have had. God, we are grateful for all you've done for us. We thank you for salvation so full and so free. And I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to look into your word now for these next few moments. And I pray, God, you'd help us to put aside the cares and the distractions of this world. And I pray, God, you'd put a hedge around this place this morning. I pray, God, that you would cover us with the blood. I pray and I plead the blood on this service this morning. Touch us, speak to us, help us. Do what only you can do. I pray, God, we need your power. This preacher needs the old-time unction from on high. God, I pray this morning, realizing that I can do nothing in my flesh but fail. But, God, I'm praying that, God, you'd touch me, fill me once again, fresh and anew, and use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. We come here in Joshua chapter number 1, and as we come to our text, we would find that Moses, the servant of the Lord, the one that Deuteronomy chapter 34 verse 10 said that there rose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. This man, whom Israel highly respected, followed after, has died. The nation is now at a crossroads. The nation of Israel had followed Moses for 40 years, and now Moses, the one that they highly revered and looked up to, he is gone. It's at a time like this in our walk with God, whether it be a leader or a highly respected pastor or a mentor or a friend in our Christian faith, someone that we look up to, someone that we respect is removed from sight. They are taken from a position of leadership, that questions arise. It's not only leadership removed, but there are trying times in our life, things that we banked on, things we depended upon, people, places, things. Things change, and we are at a crossroads. Questions arise. It was at this moment in Joshua chapter number 1 when Israel had to learn a lesson. Moses, the one they loved, the one they followed after, was now gone. And they had to learn, and they learned this lesson, that God's plan would not be ruined by the failure of one man. God's plan will be carried out in God's power. It's at this moment as Moses is dead. Verse 1 says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. But God was not done with the nation of Israel. Are you listening? At a man's failure, God is still faithful. Is everybody with me? At this moment, we find out that God was not dead. God was not discouraged. God was not defeated. God was not dismayed. God was not distraught. And ladies and gentlemen, God was not done. Moses had died, but God was still on his throne. I remind you this morning, God is still on his throne. Amen. People may let you down. Someone may go out of your life. Someone may fail, but God is still on his throne. Moses died. God was still on his throne. God still had a plan. God still had a purpose for the nation of Israel. I remind you that Deuteronomy 6:23, we would find that God did not bring Israel out of Egypt to let them die in the wilderness. God did not bring them out of Egypt to let Moses fail, Moses die, and them wilter in the wilderness. No, ladies and gentlemen, Deuteronomy 6:23 said that he brought us out that he might bring us in, amen. He brought them out of Egypt so that he could bring them in to the promised land. God was not done with Israel. It was time to march on. That's what I want to preach on for the next few moments, with the Lord helping me. It's time to march on. There were still battles to win. There were still blessings to attain. Hey, if I could bring up Joshua and Caleb, Caleb would tell you there's still mountains to inherit. Hey, there's still battles to win. There's still victories to enjoy. It's time to march on. May I remind you this morning that when we, you and I, come to trying times, difficult times in our life, that God is not dead. God is still on his throne. He still has a plan for your life. He still has a purpose for you. Mom, dad, man, woman, boy, girl. God's not done with you just because somebody else let you down, just because you face a trying time. You're going to go through experiences in your life. You're going to face times in your life when your faith will be put to the test. And it's at those moments that we realize that God is not done with us. He's still on his throne. He still has a purpose. He still has a plan. Can I say, when a church faces a trying time, when a church faces a difficult time, he's still on his throne. He still has a plan. He still has a purpose. He's not done. There is hope. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, if I can give you one ounce of encouragement today, let me just tell you there's hope. Whatever you face, whatever situation you face, whoever lets you down, whatever trial you enter, hey, there is hope. God is still on his throne. When we encounter a hiccup, God says, get up. A letdown is not a time to get down. Somebody has said that a setback is a setup for a comeback. Did you hear me? A setback is a setup for a comeback. You're facing trying times. Your faith is being put to the test. God's not trying to destroy you. He's trying to develop you. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll tell you what you do. You look up, you pray up, and you get up, because one of these days, ladies and gentlemen, we're going up. Hey, I'm telling you, a child of God, you don't have to be gloom and despair. As a church of Jesus Christ, you don't have to fret. Hey, we're going somewhere. It's time to march on. Can I encourage you, New Hope Baptist Church, in 2018, it's no time to bite your fingernails about what could happen. It's no time to cry and bellyache and moan about what has happened. It's time to take our faith and put it in Jesus Christ and trust him for what is going to happen. Amen. March on. It was at a crossroads that Israel discovered some valuable truths that you and I would be wise to remember today. I give these to you right quick. Number one, I want you to think about, what are these truths, preacher? What truths did Israel discover and learn that would help not only them but would help us? Number one, write this down. Number one, at this point in their history, at this time in the lives of the nation of Israel, when Moses, their leader, died, Moses, the one that they looked to, Moses, the one that they honored, and here they are. They're not in the promised land yet. They have not obtained the promise that God had given them. And they're probably sitting there wondering, what will we do? And I want you to remember this. Number one, God always has a man. God always has a man. Moses was God's man for a time. But Moses' time was finished. Now Joshua comes on the scene, and Joshua was God's new man for the new day. Moses, can I say, Moses was a great man in himself. Moses was a type of the law. Moses, God gave him the law in the Pentateuch, and we have the Old Testament law because God used Moses, and his life is a picture of the law. But can I say to you that Jesus Christ is a picture of grace? Hey, the Bible teaches us that Joshua comes on the scene, the new man. And Joshua, his name means Jehovah is salvation. He's a type of Christ. He's a type of our Savior. You see, the law, ladies and gentlemen, it will do a lot for a man. It will bring a man to a certain point. It's a point called conviction. The law will show us where we fall short. The law will show us where we need to do to get right. Hey, but Jesus Christ comes after the law, and he saves us in grace. He brings us not only conviction, but Jesus brings conviction. Conversion. He leads us to victory. He advocates on our behalf. He gives us a spiritual inheritance. It's through Jesus Christ that we earn the victory and gain the victory in this life. It wasn't Moses that led the nation into the promised land. It wasn't Moses that fought the battles. Moses brought them out of Egypt, took them across the Red Sea, and he got them in the wilderness, and they wandered in the wilderness 40 years. Hey, but it was Joshua that took the nation of Israel out of the wilderness, across the promised land, across the Jordan River into the promised land. God always has a man. Now I say this morning, it doesn't matter who's let you down, God has a man. Hey, listen, there's people that can't serve God. There's people that stuck 10, 15 years down the road. Here they are, they're still saying, well, but this pastor, there wasn't nobody, or this preacher, or this person, or this whoever it may be. And I say, thank God for lessons we learn. Thank God for friends. Thank God for experiences that we have. But when people change and times change, God is still on his throne, and God always has a man. Israel wasn't going down because Moses failed. Moses disobeyed, and Moses didn't enter the promised land. God wasn't done with Israel. I surprised you this morning. God's still not done with Israel. He set them aside, but he's going to pick back up with Israel one of these days. God had a plan for Israel. I'm just trying to encourage you. God always has a man. God had a Moses. God had a Joshua. God had the judges. God had the kings. God had the prophets. Hey, listen, when Malachi ended with a curse and there was 400 years of silence across the nation, God already had a man prophesied. John the Baptist came to prepare the way. Jesus came as the way. Hey, God had Peter at a Pentecost to preach the gospel. God had Philip in the desert to win the Ethiopian. God had a John at Patmos to record the revelation. God had a Paul to spread the gospel all the way to Europe so that you and I would have the gospel today. God had a Polycarp. God had the old time martyrs. God had the John Husses and the John Knox. And God had the William Careys to get the gospel across the world. God had the Wesley brothers and Jonathan Edwards and George Whitfield and John Miles and Roger Williams and Jubal Stearns and D.L. Moody and Billy Sunday and Ira Sankey, Mays Jackson, Lester Roloff, Harold Seidler, Oliver B. Green, J. Harold Smith, on and on, Bobby Robertson, Sammy Allen, on and on and on and on. God's got a man today. God's got men standing and preaching. There's old time preachers that have come and gone, and we can be thankful for the time that we had them, the lessons we heard from them, the messages they gave us. Hey, but just because they dead, God is not dead. Brother Mays was my hero. He was heaven bound with a hammer down, praise God. He said it got juicy over in that corner. God squeezed my heart and juice run out my eyes. And listen, I love to hear Brother Mays. And I love to hear Oliver B. Green and Mays Jackson and Harold Seidler, some of these men. Hey, but just because they did don't mean I got to stop and be defeated and dismayed. God's still on his throne. We can go places they never went. They brought us so far. We got to keep marching on. God always has a man. Can I say, when God brought up Joshua, He had a man. He was a called man. If you just go all the way back to Numbers chapter 27, verse 18, it was Moses that God said to go anoint Joshua, a man in whom is the Spirit. God called Joshua way before Moses ever died. You realize God knows where you're going. God knows what you're facing long before you ever get there. When you get to a crisis, when you get to a trial in your life, God's sitting there waiting on you. He's already been there. The nation of Israel seeing Moses dying, he's off the scene. They're probably wondering what they're going to do. God saying, hey, long before this ever came to pass, I already had Joshua called. He had a called man. Not only is he called, but he's courageous. You think about the task that Joshua was about to undertake. He is about to undertake the task of picking up and encouraging a nation of people, probably 2 to 4 million people, to carry on. Who knows? Here we are, millions of people looking to Moses. Moses did this. Moses did that. And here's Joshua. God has called him. He's been anointed. And he's a courageous man. God said, Joshua, you're the man. Can I say that, listen, God always has a man. Not only was he called and courageous, but he was committed. If I know anything about this, as I study the Word of God, I find that Joshua, number one, he's called the servant of the Lord. He was committed to God. He was committed to God first and foremost. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to do anybody else any good, the first thing you've got to do is be committed to God. Joshua was committed to God. Joshua was committed to God's Word. Joshua was committed to God's plan. Hey, he didn't just do anything he wanted to and do it the way he did. And the times that he got out of line, he failed. Joshua was committed to God's plan. Joshua was committed to God's man. I remind you that in Numbers 27:18, God anointed Joshua, but through the rest of the duration of Moses' life, not one time will you find that Joshua overstepped his boundaries. Not one time did Joshua exert authority against Moses. He was committed to God's man. God always has a man. You say, well, this man let me down, or this man done this, this man. I got news for you. God's got a man to lead you. Number two, God always has a message. God always has a message. When God gave Joshua the message in verses 1 through 7, this was not a message of retreat. It was not a message of, all right, Joshua, Moses brought it thus far, but Moses is gone, and we're just going to have to stop. We're going to have to pull back and maybe sit back and think about this. No, this was not a message of retreat, ladies and gentlemen, but rather the message was, Joshua, it's time to march on. It's time to make progress. It's time to keep on keeping on. Notice in verse number 1, it's a divine message. In verse number 1, the Bible said that the Lord spake unto Joshua. This wasn't a committee. This wasn't some organization or some association. This wasn't the latest polls. Are you listening? This was the God of heaven. It's a divine message. The same God that spoke to Moses, he is now speaking to Joshua. It's a divine message. Not only is it a divine message, but it's a direct message. He said, the Lord spake unto Joshua. I like that. He didn't go through a group of people and say, now you go tell Joshua. He didn't go to Joshua's best friend. He didn't go to Joshua's mom and daddy. We got a lot of so-called preachers in pulpits that mama called and daddy sent. Are you listening to me? Hey, we need somebody that's got a message from God. Joshua had a message. God spoke to Joshua. We're going to get from the wilderness and get into the promised land. We've got to have God's message. Joshua had a message. It was a divine message. It was a direct message. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to notice this. It's a delightful message. It wasn't a message of gloom and doom. It wasn't a message of defeat. It wasn't a message of woe is me. Listen to what this message is. Beginning in verse number 2, we see it's a message of the plan of God. What was the plan of God in verse number 2? Arise. Let's get up. If Joshua was told to arise, he must have been down. God said, Joshua, it's not time to be down. It's time to get up. Arise. Why? Because the next word, arise and what? Go. Go. He didn't say arise and back up. He didn't say arise and turn around. He said arise and go. 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 Hey, church, we still have a commission to go. Amen. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Arise. He said arise. Go over this Jordan. Amen. Hey, Joshua, get up and go. Don't sit here and sulk. Don't sit here and mourn. The days of the mourning for Moses were over.
There was a time to mourn. There was a time to remember. But now, hey, Joshua, get the nation of Israel. Let's go. Arise. Go. Get up. Let me give you this. Jordan, the river Jordan. It is the largest river in Palestine. The Jordan River was what separated the nation of Israel from the promised land. They're in the wilderness. They've come out of Egypt. They're in the wilderness wandering. The only thing that was between them and God's promises was the River Jordan and the faith that's going to take them to get through it. You know what God said? God didn't say, you can't get there, the river's too deep. We could sit back on our laurels and say, well, I just don't know what we can do. I don't know what we can do. Hey, I tell you what we can do. We can trust God and we can go forward. Right. Without faith, Hebrews 11:6 says it is impossible to please God. Are you listening to me? He said, but hey, watch this now. I love that verse. It says, he that cometh to God, he said, must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God's able if we'll trust him. So there's a message, a delightful message. It's the plan of God to get up and go. Keep going, pressing on, trusting God. It's a message of the promises of God. In verses 2 through 4, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all his people, unto the land which, watch this, the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. God said, I'm going to give them something they ain't never had. I got a blessing over there with their name on it. All you got to do is get up and go get it. Verse 3 said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, he said, excuse me, he said, that have I given unto you as I said unto Moses. He said, I've already told you, it's yours. Amen. Verse 4, he said, from the wilderness, he's telling them where it's at, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward their going down to the sun, shall be your coast. God said, I've got something outrageous, something amazing, something awesome inheritance for you. God said, you don't have to buy it. He said, I'm going to give it to you. Matter of fact, in verse number 3, he said, I have given it to you. All you got to do is by faith go possess it. Watch verse number 6. In verse number 6, he says, be strong of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Do you see that? Watch verse 3. Once again, the latter part of verse 3. As I said unto Moses. As I said unto Moses. What is he saying? God is reiterating through Joshua that just like I told Moses, I was going to give you this land, I have not forgotten my promises. I have not failed in my power. The land of promise is yours. Get up and go. That's the plan of God, the promises of God. In verse 5, we see the message of the protection of God. I love this. He said in verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Hey, he didn't say there was not going to be opposition. He didn't say, matter of fact, God's going to tell them that there's going to be plenty of battles. There's going to be plenty of battles once they cross the River Jordan. But God said there's not one man going to be able to stand against you. In other words, God said, I've got your back. I am the captain. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to protect you. Can I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, if we'll walk in faith and we'll trust God and be in line with His Word, we will find that He will protect us today. He's not against us. He's for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we need to get up in 2018 and we need to press on. We need to march on. We need to serve God. We need to trust Him, realizing that the God of heaven is able to protect us. He can protect us from the Democrats. He can protect us from the Republicans. He can protect us from the liberals. He can protect us from all those that hate us. I'm telling you, we don't have anything to fear. All we've got to do is trust the God of heaven and know that the God of heaven is able to take care of us and He will fight our battles. Amen. Protection of God. Verse 5, we find the presence of God. It's a message of God's presence. I like the latter part of verse 5. As, not only did I say what I told Moses, but he said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13, he said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Here it is in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. As I was with Moses. As I was with, was God with Moses? Stop thinking about that. Was God with Moses? Was God with Moses? Think about when Moses was born. Y'all remember in Sunday school? Y'all remember when Moses was born and Pharaoh wanted to kill all the babies? So Moses' mom and his sister, they put him in a little ark, put him in the river. Who you reckon was protecting Moses there in that little ark? Who you reckon it was that led him to the right woman, Pharaoh's daughter? Who you reckon it was? Who you reckon was watching over Moses, the one drawn out of the water? Who you reckon was? I believe God was with Moses. Hey, what do you reckon when Moses was down there in the kingdom and it was time to get Moses out and God began to let things happen and eventually Moses is out of Egypt. He's on the backside of the desert. Y'all all right? He's on the backside of the desert minding his own business, keeping on Jethro's sheep. And he sees a burning bush. And the burning bush, not only did it astound him, not only did he see the burning bush, then it started talking to him. God started talking to him out of the burning bush. I heard some nitwit on television not too long ago trying to explain that burning bush and how they got bushes over there that burn and they look like they're burning for so long. Problem with him is his bush burned up. The Bible says this one wasn't burned up. Amen. This was a miracle. God, here's God speaking to Moses through the burning. You reckon God was with him? And then God told him to go down to Egypt. He's going to send him down to Egypt, tell Pharaoh to set his people free. Moses starts spewing out the excuses. I can't talk. Who shall I tell? And all that. He goes on. He's got his excuses just like we do. God said, I'm going to give you Aaron. He said, but I'm going to be with you. You tell him that I am that I am, said. Amen? Hey, all the way, he gets the name. I'm speeding through because some of y'all's going to cut out on me. Watch this. Hey, Moses brings the nation of Israel. They leave Egypt. They are going through the desert. Here they come up on the Red Sea. And Pharaoh changes his mind. And Pharaoh's armies come behind. He's got a mountain on one side. He's got mountains on the other side. He's got an army behind him. He's got a sea in front of him. What's he going to do? I'll tell you what he's going to do. God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So while Moses obeys God, he raises the rod. God splits the Red Sea. Moses and all the host of the nation of Israel come across on dry ground. I'm talking about kicking up dust in the middle of the ocean, amen. Are you listening to me? Hey, and then you get over in the wilderness. If I read my Bible right, they never got too hungry. God provided them meat. When it was time to have meat, he gave them manna. When they got sick of the manna and they got grumbling about manna, God gave them so much bird. Hey man, God gave them some bird. God gave them so much bird, they got sick of it. Y'all all right? Their shoes never wore out. Y'all with me? Y'all read your Bibles, right? God was with them. All the way, God was with them. All the way. And now Moses dies. And God says, Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Can I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, if God ever deserts you, you'll be the first one he ever deserted. God didn't desert Moses. God didn't desert Joshua. God hasn't deserted none of his children yet, and he's not going to desert you. So in 2018, hey, remember the God of heaven is still on his throne. Hey, he's giving you a message. Get up and go. Trust him. God's message is a message of assurance that will lead us to action and accomplishing his plan, his purpose, his will, and his way, hey, and in his time. God's message is a message to go and to conquer, not a message to sit and to cower. Too long the church of Jesus Christ has sit in fear and we have cowered and we have given up ground. I'm telling you this morning, it's time for the church of Jesus Christ to get filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Hey, trust the promises of God. Get in the Word of God and take God at his Word and stand up and go and conquer in Jesus' name. God has a message. Number three, God has a mandate. God has a mandate. Watch verse number 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. It was going to take courage in the face of great opposition to get up and to march on. To get up and to march and to enter and to conquer the promised land that God had given them. Ladies and gentlemen, the same will be required of you and I today. It's going to take courage for you to trust God. It's going to take courage for you to put aside the naysayers and put aside the skeptics, the people that say, but I don't know if we can. It's going to take courage to say, but God said, go. I'm going to take God at his word. It's going to take the same for you and I. And remind you this, obedience brings blessings. Obedience brings blessings. We don't have to sit here and figure out a way. That's the problem with many churches today. We sit around and we try to figure out ways to manipulate blessings. God said, obey me. I'll pour out the blessings. I'll open the windows of heaven if you just obey me. Right. Obey. And obedience will bring blessings. Joshua's success would not depend on his great abilities. Joshua's success would not depend upon his great talents. But rather his success would depend upon his adherence to and his obedience to the Word of God. The same is true for you and I. No one, listen close. No one ever will prosper by disobeying God's Word. Are you listening? No one ever will prosper disobeying God's Word. Doesn't matter how smart you are, doesn't matter how hard you try, if you disobey God's Word, you do not keep His commandments, walk in His will, you say, well, I don't think I can do that. I don't know. And you try to figure out ways to do it on your own. You get away from God's Word, and no matter who you are, what you are, you will come up short. Joshua's success was tied to his adherence and his obedience to the Word of God. We're not talking about his salvation. We're talking about his blessings. We're talking about his walking in victory. Are you listening? Listen what the mandate. Here's the mandate right quick. Number one, God said be courageous. Only be thou courageous. Verse 9, he says, for then, only then, only then. But I want you to notice this. Watch verse number 7. Be courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all the law. There's a mandate. It's not a suggestion, that's a command. Hey, Joshua, be courageous. Joshua, be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Not just know it. Not just give heed to it, not just turn an ear to it, but rather to guard it, keep it, and do it. Mind you, 2018, everybody all right? In 2018, it's still right to do right. It's still right to do right. It will never be right to do wrong. It's always right to do right. It's always right to obey God's word. Number two, not only be courageous, but be committed. Verse number 8, watch this. This book, I love this verse. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe, here it is again, to do according to all that is written therein. For then, only then, amen, thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then shalt thou have good success. Be committed. Watch this. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But he said, thou shalt meditate. The idea of meditate is the idea to muse on and to bring up. And to, it's the idea of to, like a moaning or an utterance that continues. And it's the word, in the bad sense, it's the word murmur. They never quit murmuring. Well, here he's saying, hey, don't give up on the word of God. Always meditating, moaning, musing the word of God. And so in Psalm 1:1-3, we find, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But here it is. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's it. Hey, the happy man, the blessed man, is the man that meditates on the word of God. And so he's saying, Joshua, be courageous. Be committed. Don't forsake God's word. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, if I can find a couple more minutes to preach time, I got to get this in there this morning. Hey, there's a lot of people and a lot of so-called churches, and they're putting the Word of God aside. They've got skits, they've got plays, they've got music, they've got all kinds of stuff that may be all right in its place. But nothing, absolutely nothing, should take the place of the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. Nothing will ever help you like God's Word. I need God's Word. You need God's Word. I'm telling you, all Scripture is given by inspiration and it's profitable. And there's nothing ever said about anything else being that profitable like the Word of God. Right. It's the Word of God. I need preaching. You need preaching. I need teaching. You need teaching. I need meditation of the Word of God. I need it day in. I need it day out. I need it when I'm going down the road. I need it when I'm facing trials. I need it when I'm on the mountaintop. I need it when I'm in the valley. I need the Word of God. I don't want to just rest upon my feelings and rest on my emotions. I need the Word of God. And listen to me. I'm telling you, there is nothing like God's Word. Be committed. We don't have time for the Reader's Digest in this pulpit. We don't have time for no new versions in this pulpit. It's time to preach the Word of God. It's not time to rewrite it. It's time to reread it. Preach it. Live it. Love it. And then he says this, Joshua, if you'll be courageous, you'll be committed, you can be comforted. Here it is. Be comforted. Verse 8 and 9. For then, I've already said this, I'll say it again. Only then. When you're committed to the Word of God and obeying it, then, and only then, thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And watch this, and then thou shalt have good success. One time in the Word of God is success mentioned. One time, and it's right here. And it is directly linked and tied to your meditation and adherence to the Word of God. Be comforted. What's the comfort here? Watch verse number 9. Have not, or verse 8. He said, then verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. He said, you don't have to be shaken. Be not afraid. The word afraid has the idea of to fear, to tremble, or to be shaken. You face something, you come across this trying time, and it shakes you. Y'all heard somebody use the term, say, man, it shook me. Something shook me up. It shook me to the ground. Yeah, that's the idea. Hey, you don't have to be shaken. Why? Because God said, be strong and of good courage. Not only that, but you don't have to be shaken. You don't have to be shattered. He said, do not be dismayed. That word dismayed is the idea of shattered, to be broken, abolished. He said, have not I commanded thee? That command, once again, is I've given you charge. I have given you orders. Have not I commanded thee? Everybody with me? Be not shaken. Be not shattered. Watch number 3, the end of verse number 9, because you can be sure. Here's the sure. Here's the assurance. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. The Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. So here's Joshua, the leader. Moses has died. The nation of Israel's gathered around. Probably all kinds of rumors and different things going around. What we're going to do? What do we do now? And God comes to Joshua. God speaks to Joshua, gives him this message. And here's the mandate. Hey, be courageous. Be committed. And you can be comforted. Amen. You find great assurance knowing this, Joshua. Hey, I'm with you wherever you go. I don't know about y'all this morning, but I find great encouragement to know that the God of heaven is going to be with me whether I go. If I'm walking in accordance to His Word, I'm obeying Him, I'm trusting Him, I can rely that He's with me. I have His presence. He's with me. He'll not leave me. He'll not forsake me. So, hey, Joshua, arise, go, march on. Because as I was with Moses, I'm with you. Here it is. Difficulties, trying times are going to come. Everybody here? Anybody ever went through a trial? Anybody ever faced a storm? Difficulties and trying times will come. Your faith will be put to the test. But this morning, here's the message. There is hope in Jesus Christ. There is hope in Jesus Christ. No matter what you face, He's got the strength. He's got the promises. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. So here's what we're to do is by faith, get up and march on. Get up and march on. Father, take the message. Use it according to your will. I pray you bless the remainder of this service. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're standing all across the auditorium. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. God spoke to your heart this morning. I want you to mind the Lord. Some are coming. Others need to come. Maybe you're here this morning. You've never been saved. If you've never been saved, I invite you to come. Trust the Lord.